Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I'll just go ahead and jump straight into the obligatory. This show is also sponsored by Reclaiming the Republic as well, .org, as well as republicreview.org. And you already know that this is the only show that actually identifies what the process is in getting the federal government back into compliance to the Constitution. Wouldn't that be great? How many of our problems would really go away if we got government out of our knickers, especially to the level that they're in our knickers? The number to call in, and I'm getting closer and closer to getting this software installed and the previous software removed for the phone calls and so forth. But anyway, the number for you to call in today is 215-867-8255. That is 215-TOP-TALK. So I will be getting into some feedback that I've got on the State of the Union address from the listeners. And I'll also get into, because I've really boiled it down, I want to get into closing this concept of, you know, getting and or purging our system using the Constitution, because there's these nuggets in the Constitution that we should be using that for some reason they've just been left to obscurity because, one, we don't want, or I should say they don't want us to understand and know what is in the Constitution. So we'll kind of tie this all together because it's not a coincidence that the framers happened to give us a hybrid constitutional republic with enumerated powers instead of a general constitution. These men knew what they were doing. The fact that they put it into a compact or a constitution instead of a charter was, another one of those sheer brilliances, because all the states were established by charters. So anyway, let me move forward and let me do the quick groveling. If you want to help, there's different ways you can. Financially, just hit our GoFundMe campaign. It is the Reclaiming the Republic campaign on GoFundMe. If you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, that's where you can, right there on the homepage, there's a link to take you there if you want to make it easy, because most of you know how to get to my page and get the podcasts and all the other content that's there. If you want to actually start leading in your county, you want to start leading in your state in making a difference. Some people want to do it because they just care. Some people want to do it because they want to make a mark on history. I mean, if you want to make a positive mark on history, this is the way you do it. Another way, if you want to get involved in your county and say, let me finish that, then just send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And an additional way is joining the Constitution Club, because right there you can get involved in sending emails and so forth from both within your county and state as well as out to other states. So with that, let me also thank you for tuning in. I do appreciate the growth in listeners. And I will literally ask you to please continue to tell your friends, continue to let people know that there is actually a different type of show, because I'll be the first to tell you, I am not polished. I mean, there's lots of times where I get tripped up by the old tongue. Like yesterday, I ended the show in divulging instead of diving into. And so little things like that. I mean, I am not going to ever, I hope to never get really polished behind the microphone like these real leaders are out there, without mentioning names. I don't want to do this. What I want to do is I want to solve the problem. And that's why I keep challenging you. Go look at my argument. Go watch this content the videos, reading through it, and so forth. If you actually do that, then challenge me if you think I'm wrong. Nobody's been able to actually refute what, I mean, there's lots of people that do not support it. They don't like it, but they can't tell me I'm wrong, which is fine. I understand that there are people that have a lot riding on the government trough that's coming into their business, coming into their market, what have you. The government is literally, you know, they're the sugar daddy for lots of people. They're even the sugar daddy, believe it or not, for conservative entertainers, because as long as we have problems in the government, you've got conservative entertainers to complain and point the blame and get you riled up and have us chase the next shiny object or the grapefruit, as Jerry Doyle would call it. So anyway, I really appreciate you tuning in. Get the word out that there is actually a solution, and they can tune in right here at this time, Monday through Friday, on Red State Talk Radio. Dive in. Let's get immersed into the content. And this is not rocket science. I believe if somebody spends maybe a couple hours in one day, you ought to get it. And I honestly believe that you should start getting it really very quickly when I say, hey, the Constitution's a contract and you can't violate it. If so, then you can be reproved, you can be rebuked, and you can actually be punished. And so who's this that's going to be doing the rebuking? It's the states, because it's their contract. But anyway, as I always do, I did check the news today. There is no sign that the federal government is going to unleash the states with all their powers that they're supposed to have and disband any of their tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers that they usurped from the states. So what does this mean? This means that if we're going to get the federal government into compliance with the Constitution, then you and I are going to have to do it. We're going to have to start working together, or actually, I'm working together with a few folks. You just need to join us and get involved. I'm hoping and praying that this is the year that you actually take the initiative and dive in instead of divulging. Anyway, let me just kind of cover the State of the Union assessments that I got, and I'm just going to kind of boil these into. I got 23 emails that had articulated, and I just boil it down, kind of do the Madisonian way, that this last State of the Union, Trump's State of the Union this last Tuesday, was the best. The 23 of my listeners that sent me emails, it was the best they've ever heard. Best in their life, best they've ever heard, so forth. I got 12 that just ranked it as great, awesome, excellent, you know, without really nailing it harder. And interestingly enough, on the nailing, I had one email that said, nailed it. And in the little write-up, it was, you know, he really put the task onto the Democrats, and that the way he covered all of the different issues, it was almost like there was no way that Stacey Abrams was going to be able to come back and, you know, address all of these different things. So she had to go out with a... unfortunately, she had the script with the old tired dialogue. But anyway, thank you for your feedbacks. I'm still open. If you want to send me more, that's fine. And if you want to call in, that'd be great. We can talk about your assessment of the State of the Union address. I'm still reserving my comments on this because I'll just say that. I'm going to reserve my comments until we get down the road a little bit. But I want you to really start looking at my perspective of the Constitution. It's a different perspective. And the rest of the nation does not get this. How many people, I remember during the presidential election, I apologize for the aside, but I remember during the presidential election back in 2012, Perry, governor of Texas, claimed that Social Security was unconstitutional, And apparently they, whoever was running the moderator of the next debate, apparently they must have known that somebody got to Perry, because at the very beginning they said, you said that it's unconstitutional. Do you still think that? And they really drove it home and made sure that he came out and says, no, it's constitutional. And I'm going, really? So what happened? Because near as I can tell, I don't see the amendment in the Constitution. And I'm thinking that somebody had to have gotten to him to convince him that the annotated Constitution was, you know, the living document. And if you want to become president, you have to, you know, kiss the ring and or bow to the east to this, you know, annotated Constitution, or you will, you know, there's no way you'll get the support in getting there. We're not going to allow a rebel with this kind of attitude to move forward, because he was sure eating some humble, I don't know if you remember that, but he was eating humble crow. But there is only one way to make something constitutional, and it's the Article 5 process, and you need 3/4 of the states to do it. The Supreme Court can't do it, the president can't do it, and Congress can't do it. I mean, Congress initiates the concept in what we call an amendment. But if the states say no, then it's no. Just like in 1926, when President Coolidge very happily saw that Congress pushed forward an amendment so that the federal government could regulate child labor. He wanted to see this happen. But the states rejected it and said, no, you can't regulate labor, which is exactly why they're regulating labor today, because they just wrote it in their annotated constitution and they're doing it. So anyway, with that, we'll be right back after a couple promos. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Well, thank you very much for your input. And like I said, if you have any more input, just let me know. I'll be happy to jump on it and get it out there. I'll probably even reach out on the social media side to see what everybody else. I'm trying to fish for those who might have a negative perspective to find out where they're coming from, because bottom line, they're probably going to be a progressive, secular, Democrat, what have you. So anyway, regardless of the unifying tone that we definitely got from President Trump in his address, there is no doubt that we will witness the most hostile divide ever seen between the different branches of government. Obviously, Congress is not only going to be going after the president, they're already going after the Supreme Court. They are acting like spoiled little brats that, oh, now that we have power, we're going to show everybody, you know, just how bad you are, because we're not going to stop until we've turned over every stone. And it's almost like, you know, that knucklehead governor, I think Nottingham or something like that in Virginia, that, you know, had his had that photograph on his page. And now he has to walk that back or defend that, especially after he already said that he's apologized because that was his photo. And then, oh, well, now that I look at it, now that everybody's, you know, hoodwinked me to say, you know, you could probably get out of this. But hey, why don't you tell people that you actually painted your face black in a Michael Jackson dance contest trying to portray Michael Jackson? Anyway, come on. So what we're seeing in Congress is literally, or at least the House, we are literally seeing how intolerant and how aggressive the left is when they obtain power. And as they get closer and closer to obtaining more and more power, my friends, it's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse. They're going to come for the guns. They're going to literally come for anybody that has the wrong thoughts. They're going to, you know, you go to church, you go to the wrong church, they're going to come after you. They have zero tolerance for anybody that stands up and challenges them. How dare you think that global warming isn't a problem or climate change isn't a real problem? I mean, the Bernie Sanders tweet, you know, what kind of State of the Union address is if you don't mention climate change? So I'm just telling you, for the record, this will be the most hostile divide we'll ever witness since, not moving forward. It's not going to get better. It is only getting worse because we're becoming more and more ideologically divided. It is just like I've talked about my scale of liberty. Those who believe in full liberty believe that everybody must, you know, come to the right conclusions, that they need to pursue enlightenment, education, and all the facts on the issue so they can come to the right conclusion. And when they have all the information, they will choose liberty. Well, the people on the other side of the spectrum, those who are the subjugationists, those who are, you know, believe enslaving people to the state because they know better, they're wired completely different. No, we don't want them to have the choice. We want to take away their choice because we want them to choose what is best for them, and that's what we believe is best. I mean, you couldn't have more of a diametrically opposing divide than what we have, and the origins of this go back to Adam and Eve. I mean, it has been with us since the very beginning, and we have finally boiled to a point where it is all, we're playing for all the pennies in the pot. And if you don't get that, they are playing for all the pennies in the pot. And if they win, that means you lose. That means if we don't start acting, they will win. Just like Edmund Burke said, you know, all it takes for evil to win is for good people to do nothing. So start comparing and contrasting what we're going to be witnessing this year and next year. The hostility, who knows? Trump may get impeached. He may be impeached by the House, but the Senate will not punish or do anything. Just like with Clinton. We may have another Clinton-esque moment without, you know, without any stain on a dress per se, if you understand what I mean. But if you start comparing and contrasting what's going to be going down this year and next to all the previous years, you will not see the disdain and the visceral hate that is going to pour out of this House. I mean, they already, you know, kind of set the tone with, you know, all the all these new incoming representatives wearing the white dresses. I've seen some really good plays on that. And there's some truth there. There is no doubt in my mind that these people are just as intolerant as the Ku Klux Klan and those types of folks that were, you know, they were the bedrock of the Democratic Party of the 1800s through the 1900s. So take note, you are going to witness really the most hostile division between the departments, because it's not just against the president. It is against the Supreme Court and the court system as well. Anybody that Trump and or any conservative, there are all measures, I mean, full speed ahead against attacking anybody that might be a conservative that's going to challenge them. So let me jump back to yesterday and try to close on this Section 3 of the 14th Amendment matter. I mentioned the NDAs, the non-disclosure agreements with Bamford, on the fact that he was able to extrapolate information during the point in time where they were immature in their processes of redacting and hiding classified material. Therefore, he was really able to expose this agency and what they were really doing. And it wasn't very good, or at least it wasn't good for our national security side. And so if you understand, you know, what they were trying to do, they were trying to protect these vital secrets. Now, this wasn't a Snowden moment where they got somebody's, you know, caught with their hand in the cookie jar type of thing. Oh, they're doing the wrong thing. This was just exposing them. But the fact of the matter is that the emphasis with NDAs, the emphasis, and this goes all the way back to the actual, the framing of the Constitution. Our republic has a deep, long history in holding people accountable. Article 6, Section 3, another coincidence, right? That's where you're going to find the oath, which initiated this whole concept that everybody had to take an oath. But what was this oath? Oath to a religion? No. It was an oath. Was it an oath to the government? No. They don't take an oath to supporting the federal government, whatever it decides it's going to be today. You know, like it's gender identity. You know, it's going to make up this new identity, and this is what we're going to be today. And so, no. They take an oath to support the Constitution, not some politician or not a bureaucrat. It is literally supporting the Constitution. So, the framers knew the nature of man. And anybody with any level of wisdom knows that people will start to try to do anything they can to serve themselves. So I have no doubt that not only the framers knew, but I believe that our good Lord knew what we would become as a society. And literally, we have become an honorless society where honor means nothing anymore. As I've said before, back in those days, honor meant everything. It meant more than life. If you challenged somebody and impugned their honor, if you impugned their character, their good name, then that was grounds to literally call you out for a duel. I'm going to have to tone down the literally. It was the actual law at the time that you had no right to try to damage somebody's character. If you remember the essay on property, when Madison started identifying the most precious property we have is not these tangible physical things, it's our ideas, it's our name, and we have a right in our property and property in our rights. And I just ask you to go back and read that. I don't have the time to read that, nor do I have it ready to read today. But they understood how important that was and maintaining that, but they also understood that was not enough, that it wasn't just that we had honorable men, that they needed to take an oath, and that oath would make them duty bound to support the Constitution. I think the framers couldn't fathom the concept that somebody would take an oath and actually violate that oath and do things that would not be supporting the Constitution. In their world, that would have been treason. Anybody that would have done things to undermine and deliberately damage our constitutional republic and or set it up to fail, that would be treason. So the fact remains that the 14th Amendment, which came almost a century later, gave us a new protective measure. It's no longer something that you have to prove somebody to be, you know, treasonous. All you have to do now is prove that if they took the oath, that they could be held accountable if they did any aiding and abetting or anything that would be supporting the concept of our enemies in undermining and or destroying our Constitution and our Constitutional Republic. I'm at a hard break, so we will carry this further forward because I want you to get this, because this should be a part of our charge. We'll be right back. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So one of the things we're not supposed to do is just bow to any arbitrary law or any arbitrary government. We're supposed to understand that these are the things that they can do, and that's all they can do. But we haven't been taught that. But another gift from the divine hand of providence is this third section in the 14th Amendment. There's lots of people that want to get rid of the 14th Amendment. The liberals have been clinging on to it because they've been misinterpreting it and creating anchor babies and applying all sorts of civil rights and so forth with that whole first part of the due process clause. And I'm going, the whole Miranda concept. I want you to get this, that we now have a mechanism that we can actually start marking people as banned from being able to ever serve as public servant. The federal government is probably going to just continue doing what they've been doing, and that's what they're going to do, is sit on their hands with regards to this. So there are
mechanisms that can be done. But what we want to do is, let me just kind of go back into this and the clause that allows us to begin forcing this issue is through the states. And so what I want to do is kind of go into what these clauses are. But let's say why the states, because I just said the federal government is going to be sitting on its hands. They're not going to define it. Who is the final arbiters in the first place? It's the states. Let's get the states to actually start defining public service. The problem is that we have lots of states that have, let's say, less than honorable legislators. So we've got a little cleaning up to do, but in these dark red states, it's probably a little bit less, or it'll be easier to clean up, especially if this model that we set up is, because I believe it's really going to work, and I can't wait to start telling you about it, but we have to wait a few more months. And there's reasons for that. And when I start telling you, when everything works out, when all the planets align and the heavens have opened up, then I will share with you, probably late spring, early summer, I will share with you what's going on, what's going to happen. And it'll be another one of those, you know, palm in the forehead type of moment. Oh my gosh, how can we never thought of that? When I used to go around speaking regarding Republic Review and this whole concept of auditing, there was never a time when somebody didn't get up and say, how come nobody ever thought of this before? And the truth is that Jefferson Madison thought of this before. This has been clearly out there. It's just been suppressed. Or, even better yet, it has been misinterpreted, because there are lots of really good conservatives that have built this whole concept and this idea on nullification. Well, the states can just nullify something. Well, actually, if it's an unconstitutional power and it's not being exercised in your state, then nullification does nothing to that power. And they can continue to, like NASA, if you don't have any NASA presence in your state and they're building and spending money on going to Mars and going and doing all of these different things in space exploration and getting really cool pictures, well, that's spending us into oblivion. And nullification does nothing to that or for that. In other words, every state in the union can nullify it, and NASA would still exist. Well, except for maybe in those few states where NASA actually exists. So, but I really doubt that California and those states where NASA would exist or does exist, like Florida and so forth, I don't think that they would stand up and say, well, we want to get rid of this. Well, Florida, maybe. But that would be at the risk of getting rid of all the money that's pouring into Florida and all the jobs that they may be, you know, providing and so forth. And so, again, the whole point is nullification is not what Jefferson and Madison were trying to do. It was the last end results when they couldn't get the state governments to do what they were supposed to do, to hold the federal government accountable. Resolution 8 is very clear. And if you read, and I'll get into it, Madison's, what do you want to call it? It was basically his assessment of the failings of the resolutions in his 1800 paper. He wrote a paper regarding this, and he kind of put everything to bed. We did everything we were supposed to do. And it was the rest of the states that failed. They didn't get it. Or they deliberately failed to get it. But anyway, at this point in time, the states can get this ball rolling and they can start banning certain people from public service. The federal government's not going to do it. Why look at Congress? They have no interest in being held accountable. There are all sorts of people that should be getting banned for the work that they're doing in Congress. The same thing with people that are working in the president's or the executive, the executive departments or the executive powers that are being exercised by the executive, such as the EPA. That's not a department. It is an agency. There's offices and so forth within the executive department that are exercising powers that are unconstitutional, and therefore maybe they should be marked and is banned from being able to serve. This needs to start growing legs. We are in an ideological war. I tell people all the time, this war began without a shot. And the conservatives just think, oh, well, it's just a difference in opinion. Oh, no, I'm telling you, the progressives are playing for keeps. They're doing anything and everything they can. They're lying, cheating, stealing, and doing everything possible. If it's a sin, they'll do it to make sure that they hold on to the power that they have to subjugate us. They don't want to lose an inch. And they know with Trump, they've been losing inches and they don't want to anymore. He's not playing the game fairly. And so what can be done? States should start begin defining what this means. Now, so let's drill into this. No person, because this is, I'm going to kind of, what's the best word? I am going to paraphrase this third section of the 14th Amendment. No person shall be a public servant, because they create this huge list of public servants. So no person shall be a public servant who has taken an oath of service. In other words, they've taken an oath to support the Constitution, because that is the constitutional requirement for everybody, that they have to take an oath. Oh, by the way, and I've already said this before, go look up what the federal court judge's oath is. Their oath is a direct violation of Article 6 of the Constitution, Article 6, Section 3, that all people, even federal judges, are to take an oath to support the Constitution. Go look at their oath and you'll find that they don't say or even mention support the Constitution. They actually, you know, they'll be blind. I forget what it is, but they don't even mention supporting the Constitution. Why is that? Because when they start making rulings, they know that some of their rulings may violate the Constitution, and because they didn't have to take an oath, they're not going to be held accountable. Ah, well, they should be, and the Constitution says they're supposed to take that oath to support it, so we need to hold them accountable regardless of how they've been weaseling out of doing what they're supposed to be doing. So anyway, back to this whole thing, to no person shall be a public servant who has taken an oath of service, in other words, to support the Constitution, and then has engaged engaged in either insurrection or rebellion against the Constitution, or given aid or comfort to the enemies who are seeking to overthrow our Constitution, not our government, because you got to understand, our government is doing things that is overthrowing the Constitution. It's violating the very Constitution itself. And so here we have literally another mechanism, because I talk about using treason as a mechanism of recalling people that are currently in action. And that is a mechanism that can be done by the states, because in Article 4 of the Constitution, the states have the power to actually charge somebody with treason and have them extradited back to their state. But here's another mechanism in the 14th Amendment that says anybody that has been doing things that is to undermine and overthrow our Constitution. And I talked about this, and I started getting into this yesterday. Well, And I'll probably get into it in just a second. So instead of, you know, dodging back and forth, let me just kind of keep pushing forward. So what we need to do is have the states start to define this and have them start moving forward in breaking this down, so that each state starts actually creating lists of defined people who have violated their oath of office and done things that have been designed to undermine and overthrow our Constitution for whatever that enemy be. And communism has to be one of those enemies. So something that also has to be done is that they have to start creating this list of what we would define as enemies. And a different form of government would be an enemy to our Constitution. And so I'll let you ruminate on that. And when we come back, we'll start talking about what those different forms of government are. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I'm trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. So let me break this down just a little bit. The first measure is that when one takes an oath, they swear to support the Constitution, not the federal government, just as I've been saying. So what is our Constitution? It is a very defined, enumerated powers. But here's the beautiful thing about it. It has a mechanism for change. It's called the Article 5 process. So let's say it doesn't have health care in it. If you want to institute health care, the process is you don't create a law and inflict it upon everybody. That's arbitrary rule. That's tyranny. And it's unconstitutional. Therefore, it would be an effort that would be deliberately undermining the constitutional process and taking the states out of their position in the ultimate check over the Constitution. So what should happen is if Obama wanted to not violate the Constitution and undermine it and become an enemy to the state, he would have submitted a constitutional amendment that would have gone out to the states requesting that the federal government be able to regulate health care. Or that could have started with Johnson, or it could have and should have started with Eisenhower, because it was Eisenhower who gave us the Department of Hugh, Health, Education, and Welfare. And Eisenhower should have been charged with treason because technically Obama was just building upon unconstitutional things. However, anything and everything that moves forward is still unconstitutional. And if you're piling on to an unconstitutional mess with supporting the Cloward-Piven model of trying to collapse our system, because that's what they're trying to do, then that, to me, is an insurrection against the Constitution. Yeah, that's right. So all of these things that these representatives in Congress and these senators in Congress are doing, literally, and there's that word again, but truly, they should be banned from being able to be a public servant ever again because they're violating their oath by not supporting the Constitution, living within the enumerated powers and following the constitutional process for change. America, our Constitution is not a theocracy, but it can be. It can't be by edict of the federal government. It can only become a theocracy when Congress submits an amendment and three-fourths of the states accept that amendment, or two-thirds of the states petition the federal government and then in a convention to amend the Constitution, they pass an amendment that is ratified. And so that's the danger because we don't know what the ratification measures would be. They could change it all together to a popular vote. And what would happen would be the Constitutional Republic would be severed forever. Because I will tell you that most of the red states, if all of a sudden they tried to make a major change and said, we only need 50% of the state, 25 states to do this, then I think you'll probably find that many of the states would just leave the federal government and the Constitution and say, you know what, this is nothing to what this has nothing to do with the compact that we created, and we're out. We're not playing anymore. And I dare think, and I shudder to think of what would happen by going down that path. That's one of the reasons why we don't want to even start or initiate an Article 5 convention. So anyway, you, my listeners, you ought to know the limits of the federal government and the enumerated powers. So you should be clearly on board with understanding this. The interesting thing is that as the states move forward and they start defining this and they start working, I do know that there are politicians in these states that are going to have a hard time. They don't want to be held accountable either. Because if you read the 14th Amendment, Section 3, it even identifies public servants at the state level, city level, and what have you. Fact of the matter is, there are all sorts of people all over that have been violating their oath. And this section in the 14th Amendment is kind of like the bleach that can make it all go away with what Hillary was hoping would have happened to her disks on her server when they bleached it. Anyway, so what I'm hoping to do is actually start going down the path of having the states start creating these ban lists, especially these states, that we take over and start leading the charge and make it and draw the line so the people like the Clintons will never, ever be able to serve in office. Now, I will tell you, because Chelsea never took an oath, but Hillary did, and Bill Clinton did, and they violated their oaths. When she was the Secretary of State and with her foundation, the things that she was doing, she was directly violating the Constitution. She was aiding and supporting the enemies of those trying to undermine our Constitution and do harm to this country. So, there we go. And harm to our constitutional government, our constitution, period. So what we need to do is we need to start, and this has to start at the states. This will not start at the federal government. I would love to see, and you know, there is this glimmer of hope that Trump might get this and his Department of Justice. He might actually have the Attorney General. That's the title. They're not secretary. The Attorney General of the Department of Justice, the top dog, who was Sessions, and I think they're still working on Barr getting him in there. But Barr's not going to do this, and Trump will realize that he's got another problem. If he had a good, solid Attorney General, then this Attorney General could start running with this and actually challenging people and driving them out, because it's already law. The president has the responsibility to execute the law. He doesn't have to wait for Congress to create a law that he can do this. Nobody's ever done this before. Teddy Roosevelt should have been banned from being able to run or hold office. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, all of these progressives who were violating the Constitution should have been banned as soon as they violated their oath of office, because they were aiding and abetting the enemy in trying to undermine our Constitution, period. I know that this, for some people, this may seem like a reach, but I'm telling you that this absolutely embraces the concept of the framers. They could not fathom how somebody would not keep their oath. That is treason when you are actually working to undermine and destroy, get this constitutional republic to collapse financially, spending money you don't have. That's not just reckless. What do you do when you spend money out of your household that you don't have? You keep writing checks. You go to jail if you're writing checks, because that's fraud. In almost every state in the union, you will go to jail if you write checks and you don't have the money. Well, maybe not anymore, because we're just so lenient on crime. But those who are supporting, you know, amnesty to people who are breaking the law and just giving them access to voting here are working to undermine our system. And the whole point of this was really more in the immigration focus. But like I said, you could really start looking at how wide the implications go when people are deliberately doing and passing laws that are directly undermining and violating our Constitution. To me, they need to be banned from public services. You know, some people would like to see them hanged by a rope and a gallows for treason. But we also have another mechanism to keep them from ever scourging us with tyranny again. And the 14th Amendment, Section 3, does that. Now, I don't know how much time I have. I probably don't have a lot of time left. I don't. But you've heard me rail before. There's some other topics I wanted to get into, and I'll jump into those tomorrow. But you've heard me rail before about Amazon, Bezos, and how, you know, he's using all of his resources, just like the rest of these ideologues, in trying to change our world into what they believe it needs to be and inflicting that upon us. The interesting thing is that the Walton family, or the owners of Walmart, aren't those types of ideologues. They're just people that are trying to survive in a good business world and have good business competition and so forth. One of the things I've noticed, because my wife and I used to do a lot of shopping with Amazon. We don't anymore. And as a matter of fact, I have found that when I look for something very specific on Amazon, I can actually find it cheaper on Walmart or Jet, because Walmart bought Jet.com. And so what we do now is we may look for something. And if you're fed up like I am with Google and the way they drive you directly to Amazon on every search for any product model or anything else you're getting, use DuckDuckGo. But when you find something on Amazon, you'll notice that Amazon wants to sell something to you for a higher price. If you just hit, you know, add to cart, you're actually paying more for it. Go check out the price from Walmart and buy it from Walmart and prove me wrong, but you'll get that item a lot faster and you'll get it for less. And so with that, I'm GR Mobley. It's just a little shopping tips. I'm GR Mobley. I'm reclaiming the Republic, and I need your help. I'll be back tomorrow. God bless. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.